commercial break as the Rafters try to get back on the right track here in the top of the eighth. It's 8-3 Woodchucks on WFHR Wisconsin Rapids.
Econ Electric Inc., based in Wisconsin Rapids, Wisconsin, dedicates itself to delivering cutting-edge and dependable residential electrical contractor services. Whether it's a new home or enhancing existing ones, their commitment spans every detail. The success lies in offering residential electrical services tailored to your lifestyle and property. Proudly serving central Wisconsin, including Stevens Point, Plover, Lakes Area, and Wisconsin Rapids. Experience the comfort and security of a Generac generator and the excellent customer service of Econ Electric Inc. now.
Fear you're missing out when you miss our conversations on air? You can always join the discussion on our social media channels. Find Civic Media on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can also find social media for specific shows and hosts on our website. Go to civicmedia.us.
You're listening to Rafters Baseball here on WFHR. Brought to you by 8th Street Auto, Econ Electric Inc., Party Envy, Johnson & Sons Chrysler Jeep, Comfort Air Heating, Cooling, Fireplaces, McCain, Stevens Point Brewery, Delta Dental, Ho-Chunk Gaming Nakusa, Gamber Johnson, Mid-State Technical College, Skyward, Solaris, Aspirus Health, and the Food and Farm Exploration Center. Listen to Rafters Baseball here on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM WFHR, and streaming on the Civic Media app.
Let's get back to Rafters Baseball here on WFHR Wisconsin Rapids.
In the top of the eighth here, it has not gone the Rafters' way. Four runs already across for the Woodchucks. There's only one out, and they've got runners on second and third as a new pitcher comes into the game. It's Tony Torres taking over for Jack Wiesinger. Torres coming into this game after Wiesinger ended his night. Going 1 1/3 innings, he allowed 6 hits. So far, the 4 runs that were all earned, but no walks, 1 strikeout. He has 2 inherited runners on, and he also had no hit batters, no balks, no wild pitches, and faced 10 total batters, and did so on 32 pitches. Tony Torres, a righty on the mound for the Rafters, taking over here, and the first pitch on the way to Josh Arquette misses high for ball number one. 1-0 the count to Arquette. And Josh Arquette, oh man, watch out for him. He's batting .429 through his 4 games, but in game number 5, he's 0-4. And that pitch in there makes it 1-1. Back against the Rafters on July 8th, had the 2 home runs in the game, batting in the 6th hole. And one of those home runs came late in the game in the 8th inning. 1-1 count, misses low to Arquette to make it 2-1. So he has done damage in this same exact frame before, but that was back in front of the home crowd. The Rafters hoping to turn things around. The runner on second is Dom Rodriguez. On third, Max Solis. And this one is popped up right side of the infield in foul territory. And trailing back out, Junior Barajas makes the catch for out number 2. And now Cade Baldridge up to the plate, taking on the righty on the mound for the Rafters, Tony Torres. And Baldridge also has been struggling this game. He is 0-4. Arquette and Baldridge, the 6 and 7 batters in the order, have combined to go 0-9 this game, and you're looking for production out of that spot right now. Not that you really need it. You got a 5-run lead in the 8th inning, and Wausau is about to send in Reese Clapp. And this one's hit up the middle. That one sneaks on through into center field. An RBI for Cade Baldridge. Could be 2. The throw coming in, it's not in time. And it is indeed a 2-RBI single for Cade Baldridge. 10-3, the Woodchucks lead in the top of the 8th. 6-run inning for them. And that does close out Jack Wiesinger's line. He allowed 6 runs. All 6 were earned in 1 1/3 innings. And now it's all up to Tony Torres. And Torres, this season for the Rafters, a 6.98 ERA, which has been inflated over the last couple of games, as the first pitch to Jake Birkeland is in there, called for a strike. And Birkeland actually led off the eighth inning back against Jack Wiesinger. Saw three pitches, all were strikes, and he struck out swinging. 0-1 the count on the way home to Birkeland, and the breaking ball misses outside to make it 1-1. Runner on first base is Cade Baldridge. Nobody else on, with two away in the top of the eighth inning. 10-3, the Woodchucks lead. Looking home, Torres gets the pitch call, and down the middle, a check swing. He does not go as it misses high for ball number two. 2-1 the count. Birkeland, 1-for-3 on the game, and his one hit, a home run in the sixth. 2-1 the count. Torres looking to bring it home. Righty-righty matchup. It's on the outside edge, called for strike number two. Now 2-2 the count, and Birkeland, the shortstop, he's made some nice defensive plays this game. Comes from Minnesota State. Looking to keep this inning going. The Woodchucks have officially batted around. Pitch on the way home, runner taking off, but it's a swing and a miss for strike number three, and that gets us out of the eighth inning, but not before a six-run frame from the Woodchucks. They scored six runs on seven hits. There were no errors, and the Woodchucks left one on base. We head to the bottom of the eighth. It's 10-3, the lead for the Woodchucks here on WFHR Wisconsin Rapids.
I love playing sports, especially for my school. And that's because school sports are special. It's where it's safe to fail. It's where we're taught resilience, where our fear becomes confidence. It's where we learn to get back up after every fall. School sports are where 7.8 million students go from I can't to I can.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Hi, I'm Ashley, and I want to talk to you about your business. Are you a business owner who lies awake at night worried about your business uncertainties? Do you know who your target audience is or how to reach them? Don't waste another night's sleep. Call me at 715-496-0710 so I can show you the tools and information you need. We offer radio, digital, and streaming services that will help you stand out. With my education and experience, I'll help you create a solid plan tailored for your business. Because cookie cutters are for the holidays, not for business needs. Call today and let those uncertainties melt away. 715-496-0710.
At WFHR and WIRI, our advertisers are part of our family, so come join the family by calling Ashley today at 715-496-0710.
Let's get back to Rafters Baseball here on WFHR Wisconsin Rapids.
Well, the old pitcher coming out of the game, Garrett Landry, he goes just the one inning for the Woodchucks. And, well, he went three up, three down on eight pitches. Not too bad from Landry. However, coming into the game is I feel like that's all that we should know him as. Reese Clapp. He is trouble when he comes into these games. And the righty for the Woodchucks has been absolutely stellar this season. He is indeed a all-star for the Woodchucks, native of Columbia, Missouri. Goes to Bradley University and a junior there. This season, a 0.47 ERA. Yes, 0.47 ERA. He allows less than half of a run per game on average. That is incredible. Junior Barajas up at the plate, takes the first pitch for strike number one. 0-1 as that one nails the outside edge. 90 miles an hour on the fastball, and Barajas 0-for-3 in the game and looking to get back on the right track. 0-1 count on the way, gets a big swing and a miss on the change of pace pitch to make it 0-2. And Clapp, in 19 and a third innings, he's appeared in 15 games. He has seven saves for the Woodchucks. He has a 0.78 whip. 0-2 the count on the way home. Swing and a miss for strike number three. And, man, he looks Junior Barajas look like a high school player out there. Nobody does that. I tell you what. Barajas is a great batter for the Rafters, but Reese Clapp just does that to a guy. A swing and a miss there. And it's nothing against Junior. I mean, it's just showing you exactly how dominant it is for Reese Clapp. Three pitches, three strikes. He got a K. Brings up Matanaco with one out and nobody on in the bottom of the eighth inning. Rafters down 10-3, and the first pitch on the outside edge to Akko is called for strike number one. Akko can't believe it. That one was right on that edge there, and man, Reese Clapp knows how to locate. 0-1 the count to the right-handed hitting DH, righty-righty matchup. Akko 0-3 on the game, and he sends this one high in the air towards shallow left field, running out the shortstop Berkland. He's there, makes the catch, out number two. Rafters have gone two up, two down in the eighth inning. And on up to the plate now, it's Kareem Arusevic. And Arusevic has reached all three plate appearances he's had so far, but on the line here against Reese Clapp. Richie pitched earlier in the game, Richie Lacine. He went two shutout innings against the Rafters. And since the starter, Amar Sengeg, came out of the game, the Rafters have not scored. First pitch to Kareem Arusevic misses outside for ball number one. And this is what I was talking about earlier. The Rafters have been fine early in games, but it's once you get to these late innings that they've really struggled. 1-0 count on the way home. It's popped up center of the infield, and running up to it, the shortstop Berkland. He's on the mound and makes the catch for out number three. So the Rafters, no runs, no hits, no errors, nobody left on base. They go three up, three down. We head to the ninth, and the Rafters hoping to keep it a seven-run game when we return here on WFHR Wisconsin Rapids.
My name is Ariel. When I arrived in the U.S. at 19, I struggled to find job opportunities without my high school diploma. My entire life changed when I took a chance and got my high school diploma at age 22. Everything I have, my education, my career, my marriage, I owe to the Adult Literacy Center and my teachers. They were with me every step of the way, helping with my English and math, making sure I push through all the challenges.
Ariel, your success proves that what I'm doing as a teacher has real meaning.
It was an honor helping you achieve your greatness. Now you're helping others achieve theirs. It inspires me.
Education was the key that unlocked all my opportunities.
When you graduate, they graduate. Find free and supportive adult education centers near you at finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Breaking sports radio show news coming across the ticker. In a move for the ages, 105.5 WIRI has traded for playmakers. Join us 4 to 5 Monday, Wednesday, and Fridays. Hit us in the numbers by calling with your sports takes and feelings. We'll have James, Randy, Michael, and Seth bringing you local sports coverage and news that you won't hear anywhere else. Thanks to our friends at Quality Plus Printing and Family Natural Foods. Be heard 4 to 5 every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday on 105.5 WIRI's newest roster edition, Playmakers. We speak sports.
Let's get back to the game here on WFHR.
And the Rafters here in the top of the ninth are turning back to Tony Torres. And Torres looking to get out of this inning and keeping it a 10-3 game. He came in back in that eighth inning, recorded two outs, but did allow the two RBI single to Cade Baldridge. That's the only batter that reached against him, as he'll take on Christian Smith-Johnson, Noah Malone, and Dylan Schlotterbeck, due up in the top of the ninth. It's 10-3, the lead for the Woodchucks, and Christian Smith-Johnson, 2-for-4 this game after he had struggled his last couple against the Rafters. No longer seeing those struggles. Had a pretty strong hit up the middle to get the offense started in that eighth inning. Entering that goes all the way back and hits off of the home plate umpire. Oh, man. Junior Barajas not able to bring it in, and it's a 1-0 count. Jeez. Hope that he's all right. And taking a little bit to walk it off, but not much. I mean, he doesn't even need to walk that one off. So Junior Barajas going out to chat with Tony Torres. Christian Smith-Johnson, a 1-0 count when we get back, and Barajas and Torres just making sure they're on the same page. Barajas struck out Jake Berkland to finish off that eighth inning. Berkland struck out twice in the eighth. Led off the inning and finished it off as well. They did bat around, and Tony Torres now back on the mound, and Ziggy going out here to talk with the home plate umpire, and not sure exactly what he's talking about, as that pitch was called a ball, and maybe checking to see if it wanted to be called a strike. I'm not sure exactly what this was about. Ziggy was going down to have a chat with the home plate umpire, though. And Ziggy not happy, and looks like a timeout was charged, and that's what he was unhappy about. 1-0 the count on the way home, as this one is pieced down the left field line and reaches foul territory. Nearly was in the corner for a double, but instead it moves it to a 1-1 count. Smith Johnson back in that eighth inning had a single and eventually came around to score on the home run from Noah Malone. Malone, a dangerous batter who's already got two home runs on the game, looking to make it three. We'll see if he can, but that'll be up next. Tony Torres going to hope not to allow that. 1-1 the count, though, to Smith Johnson. Pitch on the way, gets a swing and a miss to make it 1-2. The Rafters eyeing down their 10th straight loss right now, and it would be just the second time in franchise history that that's happened. Really reeling right now, and you're looking for signs of optimism moving forward as the 1-2 count is grounded foul. Stays foul, and still a 1-2 count. Well, in terms of things to look ahead on, Kareem Arusovic reached three times this game. Same with Jake Beauchesne. Both of them have been very strong to start off their second halves. 1-2 the count. Christian Smith Johnson swing and a miss for strike number three. Second K of the game for Tony Torres. Looking good there, and there's one out with the bases empty in the top of the ninth. Still a 10-3 lead for the Woodchucks, and now stepping into the batter's box is Noah Malone. The matchup we've been waiting for, and Malone, the right-handed hitting right fielder, trying to get his third home run of the game, and the first pitch to him is called for strike number one. 0-1 the count on a strong breaking ball from Torres. Malone, two-run home run in the eighth, two-run home run in the fourth. He does not have a runner ahead of him, though, here. 0-1 count is called for strike number two. 0-2 the count. Malone did fly out in the sixth inning, and he grounded out in the first, but he drew a walk in the second. 0-2 the count on the way home, swung on and fouled back. Malone does stay alive at the plate. Malone, four RBIs on the game. He's looking for that five RBI game. The Rafters have had a couple of five RBI games this season. Too many of them. Hayden Carlson, Junior Barajas each have one. 0-2 the count on the way home. Swing and a miss. Strike number three. Three consecutive strikeouts from Tony Torres. And there's now two away in the top of the ninth. Bases still empty. Rafters down seven, and Torres looking for potentially strikeout number four. Dylan Schlatter back up at the plate, the right-handed hitting third baseman. He is 1-for-3 on the game, but he's reached three times. First pitch on the way home, and that a breaking ball that almost misses inside and hits him, but does curve back in and just misses for ball number one. 1-0 the count. Pitch on the way home is a foul tip called for a strike, and now 1-1 the count. His last time up, Schlatterback singled in the eighth inning and scored on Max Galvin's home run. He was hit by a pitch in the sixth and walked in the first. 1-1 the count on the way home from Torres. Called for strike number two. 1-2 the count, and Torres looking to keep rolling along here. Finding some of that momentum that he had just a bit ago. Torres, a Division I player, his last time out was not his best. Looking to redeem himself. The 1-2 count is just low for ball number two. Now a 2-2 count. And Torres, he has now appeared in his 20th game for the Rafters. Talking to him earlier, and he says, man, I am looking forward to that all-star break. 2-2 count, misses low. Now 3-2, and I tell you what, if anyone deserves a break, it's Tony Torres. Torres looking forward to getting to see his family once again. 3-2 the count on the way home, and a check swing. Did he go? No, he didn't, as it missed low for ball number four and couldn't get the fourth straight strikeout. So it brings up Max Galvin with a runner on first and two away in the top of the ninth. Rafters still down seven. They've been out hit 14-5 here, and the Rafters offense gone a little bit cold. The pitching staff had been really strong. They'd allowed just the four runs up until the eighth inning. A six-run frame from the Woodchucks as this pitch misses inside and goes to the backstop on the wild pitch. It's a 1-0 count to Galvin as Dylan Schlotterbeck reaches second base. Galvin, 2-for-4 on the game. One of those two hits was the two-run shot he had in the eighth inning. 1-0 the count, and prior to that home run, he had a 9-pitch walk in the sixth inning. Knows how to work the count. 1-0 the count. Torres looks back to second, now fires home, but misses in the dirt, takes a bounce up, and goes off of the chest plate of Junior Barajas. But looks like they're going to say this one is called a balk instead, so no pitch. And that means that the runner going over to third base, and actually looks like they called that one on Junior Barajas. Catcher's balk. Illegal touching of the ball, which I believe means that it's still a 2-0 count. Runner on third base, and the pitch is hit towards center field, but to straight away, and Clayton is there. He'll make the catch. That is out number three, and that takes care of the Woodchucks in the ninth inning. So Tony Torres, a shutout ninth. No runs, no hits, no errors, and one left on base. And we head to the bottom of the ninth. Rafters down 10-3 here on WFHR Wisconsin Rapids.
I'm the threat that's already inside the house. In the closet, under the bed, in the car. But I don't want your money or your TV. I can't be scared away or negotiated with. I'm patient and quiet. I don't sleep. You can't call the cops on me. You can't even see me. I'm the threat of family fire. And as long as your guns aren't stored securely, I'll be there. Protect your family. Secure all your guns. Learn how to make your home safer at endfamilyfire.org. That's endfamilyfire.org. A public service announcement brought to you by Brady and the Ad Council.
Well, the ninth inning coming your way, and it's not looking good for the Rafters. They'll have one last shot to score the seven needed runs in the bottom of the ninth. It's 10-3, the lead for the Woodchucks. And now leading off the inning for the Rafters, it's Royce Clayton Jr., Hayden Carlson, and Eric Harper, the 5, 6, and 7 batters in the lineup, taking on Reese Clapp. And Clapp went 1-2-3 back in the eighth inning on just 7 pitches. And continuing to look efficient out there. Each inning since the fourth inning has seen less and less pitches from the previous inning. The last one, just the 7. And we'll see if the Rafters are able to work the count a little bit more here. And well, that's what was so successful for them early on in this game. They were really working the count a lot better. 25 pitches in the first inning. Second inning, though, didn't go their way. And then in the third, they saw 16 pitches and 17 in the fourth inning. Royce Clayton Jr., the right-handed hitting center fielder, up at the plate. Righty-righty matchup with Reese Clapp. First pitch on the way home, and Clapp misses it high for ball number one. Well, whenever he comes out onto the mound in Wausau, I tell you what, the fans certainly do clap. It means that Wausau is about to lock it down. 1-0 the count, and that one's called on the outside edge for strike number one. And so far, Clapp has done no different here against the Rafters. One strikeout, three up, three down in that eighth inning. Clayton, 1-for-3 on the game. He's been retired his last two times up. 1-1 the count on the way home. Misses outside for a ball, and it's now 2-1. Clayton popped out to first base back in the sixth inning and popped out to the catcher in the third. But he did have an RBI single in the first inning. Rafters haven't scored since the third, and the 2-1 count is hit to the left side and eats up the shortstop Berglund as it bounces off his glove into left field. And a leadoff single for the Rafters as Royce Clayton Jr. picks up his second hit of the game. And it brings up Hayden Carlson with a runner on first and nobody out in the bottom of the ninth. Rafters still down 7 runs, and well, you're just trying to get batters up and on to base. Carlson, one of just 4 Rafters players that have a hit in today's game. He's 1-for-3. The runner on first is Clayton. First pitch to him is in there for a strike. 0-1 the count. Last time up, Carlson struck out swinging in the sixth inning. He singled in the fourth. Flew out to right field in the first inning, however. 0-1 the count. On the way home, it's fouled back and bounces off of the press box back into the field of play. 0-2 the count. And Carlson, right-handed hitting shortstop. It's a righty-righty matchup with Reese Clapp. Runner on first, Clayton, jostling a little bit with the lead foot over there. And now the 0-2 counts, hit to the right side, and it's caught out of the air. Stepping back on the bag, it's a double play. Got Royce Clayton Jr. back at the bag, and that goes down as out number 1-2 on the double play in the ninth. Brings up Eric Harper as the last chance for the Rafters, still needing 7 runs with nobody on base in the bottom of the ninth. And Harper, the right-handed hitting second baseman. It's a righty-righty matchup with the game on the line. Harper 0-for-3 in the game, still looking to reach for the first time, and swings and misses at the first one to make it 0-1. Harper, his last time up, flew out to center field in the sixth inning. Struck out swinging in the fourth and grounded out 6-3 in the second. 0-1 the count on the way home. It's another swing and a miss. Rafters down to their last strike. Trying to avoid the 10-game losing streak. Mentioned it earlier, would only be the second time in history. The other time was an 11-game losing streak back in 2014. It's been over a decade since the Rafters have lost 10 in a row. 0-2 the count is laced into left field down the line. It's gone if it's fair. Is it? The call is foul. Went right over that foul pole, but just missed it to the left. Harper couldn't quite get the home run, and that one maybe the best hit ball of the year off of Reese Clapp, but just missed a home run. So still an 0-2 count to Eric Harper. Staying alive here, and we'll see if he can send this one over the wall in fair territory. Clapp looking to take care of Harper. Nodding off his catcher a couple of times. Four times, five times. Shakes his head. Six times. Now he nods his head yes on the seventh attempt. 0-2 the count on the way home. It is outside, called for strike number three. And that does it for the game. The Rafters have officially lost this game. The final score, 10-3. No runs on the one hit, no errors, and nobody left on base in the ninth inning. So the final score, 10-3. And with that, the postgame show comes up next. This is Rafters Baseball on WFHR Wisconsin Rapids.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips that you plan in advance, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends for which you make a group chat 3 months before so that nobody or anything is missing? Or your daughter's first birthday party? You planned it with such dedication that instead of the first, it felt like our quinces. The same way you plan each detail for those moments. Start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Protecting your family is the best plan you can make. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
What is dedication?
The thing that drives me every day as a dad is Dariano. We call him Day-Day for short. Every day he's hungry for something, whether it's attention, affection, knowledge. And there's this huge responsibility in making sure that when he's no longer under my wing, that he's a good person. I think the advice I would give is you don't need to know all the answers. The craziest thing was believing that your dad knew everything. So as a dad, you felt like you had to know everything. You had to get everything right. It's okay to make mistakes. As long as it's coming from love, then, you know, it kind of starts to work itself out. I want him to be able to sit back one day and go, we worked together, we did a good job.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
You can't escape a traffic jam. Know what else you can't escape? Seasonal allergies. And you might think you can avoid that coffee stain until... Oh, really? You can't escape a lot of things in life, but you can escape prediabetes. Prediabetes captures 1 in 3 adults. There are usually no signs of prediabetes. In fact, most people don't even know they have it. But with early diagnosis, you can change the outcome and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. Take action by taking the 1-minute risk test at doihaveprediabetes.org. You might not be able to escape having this song stuck in your head, but you can escape prediabetes. Go to doihaveprediabetes.org today. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.
Well, not the way that the Rafters wanted things to go here on a Saturday night. It was a great crowd here at Witterfield, but the final score did go in the books 10-3. Looking back at the way it happened, the Woodchucks took the early lead, going up 1-0 in the first inning on an RBI single from Max Solis. But bottom of the first, the Rafters scored 2 more runs. It was an RBI double from Kareem Arusovic and an RBI single from Royce Clayton Jr. That made it 2-1 Rafters, and then in the bottom of the third, they added another one. RBI single from Kareem Arusovic led 3-1, but from that point on, the Rafters' offense would go silent, and there were 9 unanswered runs scored by the Woodchucks. Top of the fourth inning comes around. Woodchucks score 2 on a 2-run homer from Noah Malone. In the sixth inning, it was a solo home run from Jake Berkland. In the eighth inning, it was a 2-run home run from Noah Malone, then a 2-run home run from Max Galvin. So those 4 consecutive scoring plays were all on home runs. 7 runs in a row scored off of home runs, and then it was a 2 RBI single from Cade Baldridge that made it 10-3, and that finished off the game. So the final score, 10-3. Taking a look back at all the stats and numbers behind the night. Jake Beauchesne, 1-for-2 with 2 walks. Karima Rusevic, 2-for-3 with a walk and 2 RBIs. He also had a double in the game. Royce Clayton Jr. went 2-for-4 with an RBI. And on the pitching side, it was a not too bad start from Jeremy Jones. They allowed 2 earned runs over 4 innings with 2 strikeouts. Jace Parajas went 2 innings pitched, allowing just the 1 run. It was earned. And Tony Torres, an inning and 2/3, did not allow a run while striking out 3 batters. But Jack Wiesinger did struggle out there. An inning and 1/3, and he allowed 6 runs. All 6 were earned on 6 hits. Although he didn't walk a batter and continued to show the command, but just wasn't able to get the swings and misses like he was hoping for. So, final score, 10-3. We're going to keep this one a pretty quick post-game show as the Rafters lost their 10th straight. And, well, it's just hard to kind of go with this streak right now. You know that this team has talent, and you've seen it in various spots. But as Junior Barajas said in the pregame show, it's just a matter of putting it all together. Right now, the Rafters have not managed to do that, and that has them losing these games. And, well, this is the first time the Rafters have lost 10 games in a row since 2014, and just looking in the wrong direction right now. You got to hope that they can get back on the right track and get things figured out, and they'll have a chance to do so tomorrow before the All-Star break, but the All-Star break really coming at the right time right now. They will need to take the rest and hopefully come back with a renewed sense of confidence. Tomorrow, it'll be at 3:05 against the Woodchucks. The Rafters looking to avoid the franchise record 11th straight loss. But we'll see if they can do that against a very tough Woodchucks team who started off this second half now 9-2-1. They have been incredible and looking to keep that up against the struggling Rafters. So, first pitch 3:05. The pregame show will start at 2:50 p.m., but that's going to be all for tonight's broadcast, so a big shout-out to everyone who helped make this happen. As always, to the folks at WFHR for helping us host this great game of baseball on the radio. And along with that, a big shout-out to the coaches, as always, for being open to us. And one final shout-out to our pregame guest of the show, Junior Barajas, for taking his time to talk with us. But that's going to do it. So one last time, the Rafters scored 3, the Woodchucks 10. It's a bad news Saturday night. From myself, Austin Thomas, and from the rest of the Wisconsin Rapids Rafters, thank you and have a great rest of your night.
Until our next guest here, speaking of authors, he has been on this program. In fact, last time we did the show up here last summer when we did it with our friend Jane Matinere, Mr. Ken Szymanski, who is an author here. He is also an educator. Ken, welcome back to the program and welcome to the Northern Wisconsin State Fair.
Hey, thanks. Great to be back.
It's really, really a pleasure. For those that might not have heard the show last year, tell folks a little bit about yourself, your background, and how you came to be a published author.
All right, I've been a teacher for 30 years. I teach English, 8th grade English at DeLong Middle School. I've been writing ever since I was 13. I sat down with a spiral notebook on my parents' kitchen table and wrote a choose-your-own-adventure book. I was naive enough to think that I could do that, and that's what I found that I love about middle schoolers, is they have that naive confidence, and you can accomplish a lot as an artist when you've got that naive confidence. So I've tried to hold on to that. And I've kept writing my whole life, and in 2020 I was named the Eau Claire Writer in Residence, which means I'm an ambassador for writing and an ambassador for Eau Claire through the act of writing. So I've published 3 books. I've got one coming out next week. It's called Summertime Souvenirs, and you talked about the gloom and doom in the books you read. This is the opposite of that. This is a feel-good book.
Yeah, great.
Yeah.
That's great. What made you choose or the name or the subject matter of Summertime Souvenirs?
All these books have a summer theme to them. And why do you buy a souvenir? It's because you want to remember something about that vacation. But every souvenir has a story behind it. And so these stories are things that I want to remember. So it's like souvenirs in the form of stories.
Wow, I love it. The book's coming out next week. Yeah. Where can they find it?
That'll be at the Volume 1 local store. Mm-hmm. And maybe a couple other locations around town. I try to avoid the Amazon and the national sites and really just keep everything with this book local.
Well, I think that's fantastic.
Right now it's in It's in proof form.
Proof form.
Just a whole bunch of loose pages with one paper clip.
Yep. That is the only copy that exists. Right
really?
Now.
Yeah. Well, but here it is, ladies and gentlemen, right here at the Old Northern Wisconsin State Fair. Ken, I want to leave you enough time because you've been so kind as to give us a sample here live on the air of this
sure.
new book coming out called Summertime Souvenirs. Give Ken Szymanski a little time here. He's going to read a portion of this, and we'll come back and talk about it. Here is Mr. Ken Szymanski.
All right, this story is called Stop the Ride. Before the tilt-a-whirl unleashes its madness, the announcer offers this reassurance. If at any time you want to exit the ride, give the two thumbs down signal and the operator will bring the ride to a stop. Though the ride hasn't even begun, I'm already woozy. Here at Como Town in St. Paul, my 7-year-old son Keegan is not afraid to ride the rides, but he is scared to ride them alone. I'm his only companion, so if I don't ride the rides with him, he won't ride at all. This will be my 5th ride of the day. I have a wobbly history with carnival rides. Even decades later, I can recall the trauma scenes. The octopus at Thorpe's June Dairy Days, the tempest at the Northern Wisconsin State Fair, and the zipper at Spooner Rodeo Days, where I was trapped for an extra cycle due to an unloading oversight. Simply put, I don't like spinning violently in circles, and neither does my stomach. So far on this day, there were chinks in my armor. The circular swings, rising and dropping, made my legs weak, especially the second time. The teacups, believe it or not, were worse. Put me on a big budget roller coaster, send me ziplining, bungee jumping, or skydiving, all pale in comparison to the spinning brutality of the teacups. We take a break for some cotton candy, which helps get the motion sickness aftertaste out of my mouth, but I tell Keegan no to mini donuts. In this land of excess, I must draw the line somewhere. That's when we walk past the tilt-a-whirl. Dad, I want to go on that, he says. Fearing another June Dairy Days incident, I ask, can you go on this one by yourself? He shakes his head. Thinking back, my own father didn't go on carnival rides with me. I have a hard time picturing him at an amusement park, actually, unless he's standing there, completely unamused, maybe smoking a cigarette. Not gruff, just ready to leave. Any time now. Former farmer, factory worker, and Korean War veteran, this wasn't really his scene. Dad died 8 months after Keegan was born, but for those 8 months, he showed his goofier side. Despite the dementia brought on by Alzheimer's disease, Dad would transform with his new grandson on his lap. Bring the baby, and for a good 15 minutes, or sometimes longer, Dad emerged from the fog, fully alert, engaging, and comical. We called it the surge. Dad would carry on with ridiculous facial expressions and hilarious one-way banter, anything for a laugh from his new grandson. Now, 7 years later, Keegan and I are buckled into the tilt-a-whirl, and the announcer is giving the two-thumbs-down speech. As we get up to speed, the ride stays true to its name, and we tilt and whirl and whirl and whirl. I feel awful. I want to give the sign, but I can't do that in front of my son. He'd never forget the day I stopped the carnival ride and we walked off in humiliation. I try to focus on one fixed point for the illusion of stability, but it's impossible when whirling around like this. I'm in trouble. Slamming from side to side, I want to give the sign. Would the operator even see me? Just a blur inside this spinning dome of doom. I must give the sign. I'm going to lose my lunch. I try to give the sign, but I can no longer lift my arms. My stomach slogs around like a washing machine, and now the operator cranks it up to the whiplash cycle. Meanwhile, Keegan howls with joy. Finally, the ride slows down. The ride stops. It feels inevitable. I'm going to throw up. I lift the safety bar. Don't puke on the ride, I tell myself. Get away from the ride. I zigzag down the stairs. Behind me, Keegan yells, "Let's do that again!" I search for privacy, stagger next to the mini donut stand, and drop to my hands and knees. I worry about what Keegan is thinking, 90 miles from home, and the only person he knows is half collapsed on the blacktop. I pull a $5 bill from my wallet and hand it to him. faking calm, I ask, "You want some mini donuts? Here, go get some mini donuts." He shakes his head, confused and scared. A young couple walks past, points at me, and laughs. Then I hear a voice. Perhaps it is just my pride or paternal instincts, or maybe it is my late father. The voice says, "Get up. Don't let him see you like this." Like a knockdown boxer trying to prevent the fight from being called off, I lurch to my feet. Down, but not out. After a few minutes, we sit on a bench and eat mini donuts together. Each bite is a temporary relief from the seasick aftertaste. On the drive home, I nurse a strawberry smoothie. We're buckled in. My stomach is still not amused, but we're on cruise control now. The road curves, dips, and rises again. I stay focused on the horizon, something far off to keep us steady on the good ride home.
Mr. Ken Szymanski from his forthcoming book, Summertime Souvenirs. Incredible. Thank you, Ken.
Thank you.
Story, thank you.
I just think that's, A, so well written and great to hear it read by the author. But isn't that the story that could be retold, Pat, from a million parents or grandparents or aunts or uncles, other kids, whether it was a Northern Wisconsin State Fair or in Minnesota?
And you don't expect to have a tale of generational differences until you've crossed that line and you're there and you see that it's your kids and now my grandkids. And we didn't do that for our kids
yeah.
the way that those parents have to do it for their kids, and you realize you have a story that the next generation can't tell, and now you've put them on paper to share them.
Yeah, my hope is when people hear these, it reminds them of stories that they had with their parents or things that they've forgotten about, mm-hmm. and then my stories trigger those moments in them, and they're thinking about things they hadn't thought about in a long time and realizing it, that they have a lot of valuable memories too, and it doesn't have to be monumental moments in life to be important.
It can just be little things. I mean, to this day, I still know the difference. I've never smoked a day in my life, but I know the difference between Benson and Hedges and Salem because one grandparent smoked one brand and the yeah. other did the other. And that's something that will never leave my head.
Yeah.
Even though I haven't smelled either one of them, thank God, in many, many years. But again, those are the moments from your childhood that you can build a story around.
Yeah, I mean, Ken, you know my sister and brother-in-law, well, and Heather and I are dealing with our dad's going through an era of dementia now, and a lot of these stories, when you realize that, oh, that's not available anymore to be retold, because sometimes you hear your parents or grandparents say these things, 100, it's like, oh, geez, but then when you can't hear them again, it just puts a different vibe on it.
Yeah, and part of, like, the souvenir, you want to preserve it, you want to hold on to it, and summer is fleeting, and it always goes too fast, and life is the same way, and this is just an attempt to hold on to some of those best moments, and something that you can look back on and feel good, and the reader can feel good, too.
Yeah, absolutely. I know there's another story about the Northern Wisconsin State Fair. It's a little longer than what we have time for today, but there is a story in there specifically about this event, right?
Right. It took place 4 years ago today. It just popped up in my
really?
Facebook memories. Yes, when my wife and kids accidentally snuck into the Blue Oyster Cult concert, and I was stuck in traffic in Chippewa, and I was missing it.
Missed the cowbell.
Right.
Missed the
right.
cowbell.
And they were in there just for one song, and it was Don't Fear the Reaper.
Of course
with the
it
cowbell.
Was. Yes.
And is it true that the cover of the book has a photo of the Northern Wisconsin State Fair?
Yes, on my sticker. You can barely see it. But we were looking for pictures for the cover, and we ended up using one that I took here on my phone. I just snapped a photo, and it ended up being the perfect cover for the photo.
Wow. That's awesome.
For the cover.
I really think, Pat, that, again, what Ken is doing here, this emblemizes what a lot of what the Northern Wisconsin State Fair is for a lot of people. You create memories here.
Yeah, and it's not static. It changes, as we learned yesterday, you know, from Rusty Vulcan in little drips and drabs. But over time, you go, wow, there's been so much that's different, but the memories remain. And that's the part that it's great to capture and it's great to share.
Yeah, absolutely. We're going to come back and talk a little bit more. Ken's going to share one of his great stories, morning announcements. Make you feel good to end the show. And Pat and I are going to wrap it up. Another year here at the Northern Wisconsin State Fair. Don't go anywhere. It is the Tattleball Show live from Chippewa Falls across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin as a game of cribbage with good friends, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
From newspaper to radio to magazine to podcast, the way we get our information has grown, and now so has Midday Magazine. Our longtime beloved show has grown to become the Rapids Report. Now exclusively available online, listen at 4 p.m. Monday through Friday, where it's streaming at WFHR.com. Catch up on previous episodes and spread the word. Midday Magazine is now the Rapids Report, streaming weekdays at 4 at WFHR.com and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Ashley, and I want to talk to you about your business. Are you a business owner who lies awake at night worried about your business uncertainties? Do you know who your target audience is or how to reach them? Don't waste another night's sleep. Call me at 715-496-0710 so I can show you the tools and information you need. We offer radio, digital, and streaming services that will help you stand out. With my education and experience, I'll help you create a solid plan tailored for your business. Because cookie cutters are for the holidays, not for business needs. Call today and let those uncertainties melt away. 715-496-0710.
At WFHR and WIRI, our advertisers are part of our family, so come join the family by calling Ashley today at 715-496-0710.
My name is Ariel. When I arrived in the U.S. at 19, I struggled to find job opportunities without my high school diploma. My entire life changed when I took a chance and got my high school diploma at age 22. Everything I have, my education, my career, my marriage, I owe to the Adult Literacy Center and my teachers. They were with me every step of the way, helping with my English and math, making sure I push through all the challenges.
Ariel, your success proves that what I'm doing as a teacher has real meaning.
It was an honor helping you achieve your greatness. Now you're helping others achieve theirs. It inspires me.
Education was the key that unlocked all my opportunities.
When you graduate, they graduate. Find free and supportive adult education centers near you at finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
This is Beth, host of The Kitchen's Open. Have you ever found yourself asking,
what's a good recipe for cookies my kids will love?
How do I avoid giving my guests food poisoning?
How would a restaurant chef prepare this meal?
If so, then tune into The Kitchen's Open, the show within the morning show each Monday morning at the start of the 10 o'clock hour. I'll tackle topics, teach techniques, or tell you what to do or not to do when it comes to cooking or the kitchen. I'll also bring you interviews with local chefs and restaurant owners. The Kitchen's Open. We'll tell you something good.
As Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back to the Tahlah Ball Show, live on location here at Chippewa Falls, the Northern Wisconsin State Fair on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is 8 minutes before the hour of 4 o'clock. Yes,
what do they play soccer on?
A pitch.
Oh.
Look at how smooth. That's an award-winning broadcaster right there.
He's never Thank won you. An award.
Yeah. No, you haven't. On television?
No.
Well, you should. I will nominate him next year. All right. Thank you, Pat. We appreciate it. The word of the hour, as Pat alluded to there, is pitch, P-I-T-C-H, for those 4 Milwaukee Brewers tickets. You could be eligible for the next 7 minutes by texting P-I-T-C-H on the Civic Media app. 4 Brewers tickets up for grabs at our free Ticket Friday. P-I-T-C-H. Pitch. Text the word right now. Coming up at the top of the hour, ABC, CBS, and James Kelly News. Wouldn't it be great if James Kelly did the news here?
I had no idea that you were referring to it as the James Kelly News.
Yes, the James Kelly News at the top of the hour for some of our listeners here in the Chippewa Valley. And then it is our weather forecast with Brittany Merlot and her team, our great sports reporter, Mike Clemens, talking about those red-hot Milwaukee Brewers against the Nationals. And then the Maggie Dawn Show every afternoon between 4 and 6, followed by Pete Schwab and Nightlight. Right now, Pat Kreitler and I are joined at the desk by author and teacher as well here. Ken Szymanski has a brand new book coming out called Summertime Souvenirs, coming out this Wednesday. Well, more on that. Always glad to have you here, Ken. What are the other great things that you do here? You're administrator or just an
English teacher.
English teacher. And you did morning announcements, and you put together these inspirational things. You've read it to us before. Tell us just quickly about this.
Yeah, so with the morning announcements, the first bell rings, and you get the lunch menu and the Pledge of Allegiance and any other announcements. And I just tried to add in these one-minute stories, and they all have to end with the phrase, make it a great day, and they've got to be about a minute long, but just things I've noticed about certain staff members that might teach the kids a lesson.
All right, here's a morning announcement for the afternoon by Ken Szymanski.
All right. During a hot September practice, DeLong soccer players were running sprints across the field, but a few of the boys weren't giving it their all. Maybe it was the heat and the humidity. Perhaps it had been a long week. But after a couple of reminders to hustle, a frustrated Coach Chang blew the whistle and gathered the team. The boys knew what was coming. "We're not running these sprints to punish you," Coach Chang said. "It is to condition you for the game. If we are tied in the fourth quarter, the team that can still run will win." He let that sink in and continued. "Now, if you guys play your hardest and come up short, your coaches have no problem with that. But if you know you could have tried harder, then you let your team down. So you can't be practicing, how we have to say it, half donkey." Because what do we always say happens in the game when you practice half donkey? The players grinned and responded in unison. "You play half donkey." So whether it's sports practice or schoolwork, don't be a donkey. Instead, be a stallion. Gallop at full speed and make it a great day.
Ken Szymanski, morning announcements. I love it, Ken. I love it. It just makes you feel better, right?
Oh, yes.
Positivity. You always bring positivity to this show. Thanks for being one of our great educators at our public schools here in the Eau Claire school system. You guys just do yeoman's work. Appreciate everything you're doing, Ken.
All right. Thank you. Appreciate being here.
Well, your new book coming out, Summertime Souvenirs. We'll keep plugging that and talking about that. Welcome back on the show anytime. Thanks, Ken.
All right. Thank you.
Really appreciate it. Ken Szymanski, everybody. Glad to have him here. And, of course, glad to have our friend and colleague, Pat Kreit. What a couple of days, Pat. It's been fantastic. Before we run out of time, many thanks to Kaylee High, who brought in her chicken, Sue. So thanks to Kaylee and Sue for coming. And her boyfriend, Rudy, as well, was here. We forgot to call him out.
I feel like you were trying to top Pigeon Quest.
I know, right? Yeah, I know.
Pigeons every Wednesday. You come up with a live chicken.
Well, it's one chicken. Many thanks also to Josh Showman, the Washington County Executive and candidate for governor, for stopping by. BJ Hollers and Steve Dayton from Fireside Productions on their new documentary on Coob. Of course, Ken Szymanski, our own James Kelly was here as well. Thanks to him and our own Mike McKay from WCFW, and of course Heather and Mike and Mama Linda for helping out on the
Linda's
show.
Linda's still here and has just been going to town on the cookies in there.
She loves a good cookie.
I know. Is she a good cookie baker?
She's a fantastic cookie. Yeah, she makes really good chocolate chip cookies. Her favorite thing, I think, that Heather, I like the homemade apple pie in the fall.
Homemade apple pie.
That's great.
Oh,
yeah, it's really, really good.
Good. Okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right.
Pat, any final reflections here on the Northern Wisconsin State Fair as we wrap it up for another year?
I never have. If I could, I would shout this fair from the rooftops to everybody. Like I said yesterday, it's the Goldilocks of fairs. Not too big, not too small. It is just the perfect thing that you can cover in a full day, or come out a couple of days in a row. Mm-hmm. Like you heard Rusty Volk say yesterday, one of the first things he noticed was that people were only coming for one day, and he wanted people to come back. And so over the 17 years that he's been running the fair, they've added different attractions, changed things around, and you got to love that, because we've all been to things where they get comfortable, they get complacent, and they don't update things. And here they do, but not in such a large way that they lose their character.
Yeah.
And it just makes this such a wonderful community. It's one of the best parts about being in Wisconsin, is when you have people that want to come together, make a fair or an event like that happen. I mean, when we can even attract high-priced major market radio talent like Todd Alba to come to our little fair, I'm telling you, we're doing something right here.
But none of that's true, especially the high priced. But I'm glad. It's just a lot of fun.
Look at all the lights, and you cost us a lot. You are a high dollar. Oh, you meant pay.
They're LED lights. Yes. They're LED, Patrick. Right. But thank you. All seriousness, it was great hanging out with you and your lovely wife, Sherry, Dr. Kreitlow, to me. It's great having her along. Thanks to the family here for doing this, to Rusty Volk, for our entire team in WCFW, and also on 93.5, the TAP up here for helping do all of this. We really appreciate it. And the Northern Wisconsin State Fair is definitely something in my book, Pat, that makes Wisconsin great.
Oh, without a doubt. And hey, safe travels next week. That's going to be a lot of fun.
Next, we'll be with you next week. On Monday, you can hear Pat starting at 6 a.m. from 6 until 9 across the network. And then Jane Matinere, Greg Bach, and I back on the road Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. We'll see you back at the home world headquarters on Monday. Whatever you're fighting for, whatever you believe in, keep banging your drum. Time for a funnel cake, Todd. Thank you, Pat.
You're welcome.
Maggie Dawn is next. We'll see you on Monday. Bye-bye.
Real money for this trip.
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Heather Bosch. Rescuers in Central Texas are now calling it a recovery effort after deadly flash flooding more than a week ago. CBS's Karen Hua.
On July 4th, the river rose more than 35 feet in some places, pushing homes off their foundations and obliterating campsites. Sheriff's Deputy Don White says he and his cadaver dog have found several victims.
There's really no place to walk on the riverbanks, so you're sliding up and down. There'll be people who'll never be recovered. You'll never find them.
More than 160 people are missing, 129 confirmed dead, including children. Marcy Heap lives nearby.
As a mother who's lost a child, I know the nightmare that these people are living, that these parents are going through. I wouldn't wish that on the devil himself. That is the most unfair thing a parent will ever go through in their life.
Immigration agents detained 200 people during